pre-recorded version of the WTK Roundtable on WTK, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. This is recorded, though, so if you call in, nobody will answer you. On a Thursday morning here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA online at WTKA.com, live here inside the Emden Studios. We call this segment Thursday, or this hour, Thursdays in the 9 o'clock hour during the football and basketball seasons, the MGO Blog Roundtable. And of course, that is based on the site where the guy sitting across from me is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The be all, the end
all. Not sure anymore. Fieldy might be the new Alpha, so.
That's deeply insulting to Ace and the rest of the crew.
Okay. He is the leader.
Yes.
He is the leader of the team over at MGO Blog, Brian Cook. Brian, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Sitting to my left and his right, this is the... I mean, these guys
are... You're making me laugh already?
They're like Hatfields and McCoys.
No,
I mean, they go...
No.
Yes, you guys are.
No.
Yes, you guys. Always.
We're quite cordial, except when they're defending Michigan's two-point defense on basketball last year.
I'm talking about Ed Fang from the Power Rank. They go back and forth, but it's always in good fun and always a spirited discussion. Ed, how are you?
I'm great, Sam. How are you?
Great to see
you. Lovely children. He has lovely children.
You have a lovely child, too.
Thank you.
Listen to that. Kumbaya.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We need to sing. Lock arms and sing. Craig Ross, how you doing?
See how long that kumbaya lasts. Last year off here, I think Brian said sitting next to Ed all year gave him CTE.
No. Sitting between Ed and you gave him CTE.
Maybe
come
that
on.
Was it. Yeah, it was Brian.
At least that's what you told me last year.
Why would I say that off air? That's awesome.
You said it off air. It was very funny. But
damn.
So, Craig, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm sorry I'm not there, but I'll be there shortly.
Are you in Hawaii right now?
I'm in Hawaii.
Okay, so, man, that's...
Where it's, wait, 4 a.m.? 5 a.m.? What time is it?
I'm sorry, what?
What time is it out in Hawaii?
It's just 3 a.m.
3 a.m.?
Just 3 a.m.
It's going to be warmer here than it is in Hawaii.
Yeah, man. That's dedication for you, Craig. Tell people about your books.
I got a couple. Obscene Diaries of a Michigan Fan, Search for the Unified Field Theory, football version, and I write... some stuff for Brian. HGTV, his book this year is phenomenal. You know, really, I don't know if there's any copies out there left, but it was really tremendously well done. A great job by Seth Fisher, who I think you had on last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's well worth it. And I should have an article in the Observer in September, a long article about Michigan football. So that's what I'm doing.
What was your contribution to Hail to the Victors this year?
I wrote an article about the Rutgers so-called first game in football, Rutgers and Princeton in 1869, which was not a football game. There's no way that under any stretch of the imagination it could be called a football game. So I began investigating what the first football game might be. And it's
Craig
hard.
Ross has no mercy. Like that's the only thing Rutgers has. He's like, go take that away. You can't have that.
Well, it just wasn't a football game. It was a 25-on-23 kind of soccer game. And
what do you got against soccer, man?
Well, 25-on-23 doesn't sound like any kind.
Yeah, one side had 25 guys. I can't tell you which team, and one side had 23 guys, and they were just kicking the ball around. And calling that a football game to me doesn't seem right. I'm guessing that the first actual game might have been actually Michigan and Racine, 1879. At least that's what my article argues. So if you're interested in that sort of stuff, I spent a lot of time researching it. You check out HGTV.
Gotcha. All right, great stuff. So guys, we have a media day behind us, Big Ten media day behind us. We have a media day in front of us. Heading into that, I'm curious where your meter is for the rest of the Big Ten. I'll get Ed your thoughts on Michigan, and Craig yours too. I've already heard kind of what you're thinking about the team this year, Brian. But let's start off talking about the rest of the Big Ten. What do you think of of the league this year. Ohio State obviously getting a lot of love for the talent that they have. Yeah. They're also the most inexperienced team in the country.
They are. I think they return something like 3 starters, mm-hmm. which is amazingly low. That's on defense, and they've got a few on offense as well, so like a total of 6. Obviously, 12 draft picks in the last draft. They have a lot of questions. They have JT Barrett and then Elfline on offense, and then nobody really knows what else is going on there. They have Garyon Conley, a cornerback, coming mm-hmm. back. They got a linebacker, Raekwon McMillan, coming back. They got a couple of good defensive ends. But they got questions all over those mm-hmm. those units. Those questions are usually going to be answered by this 4 or 5-star guy who's going to be pretty good.
Right.
But they're going to take a step back. They got to take a step back. There's no way that they're going to perform it the way they did the last 2 years. And this is a really excellent opportunity for Michigan, especially because Michigan State doesn't really look like they're going to be great. Like, maybe if that secondary takes a quantum leap, but without that, they're going to be pretty vulnerable in the same spot they were last year. And
well, and they lost all their pass rushers too, right? So you got Malik McDowell on their defensive line.
Yeah, McDowell's kind of a defensive line by himself.
He's mm-hmm. true. Like, he's great, but I mean, you lose Calhoun, you lose a lot of those guys that yeah. had double digit tackles for loss last year. And then you lose the best quarterback and offensive tackle in program history. That's the thing I don't know how they overcome.
Yeah, and Berber just is a big loss,
right.
too.
Huge loss.
So they lost all their receivers except for R.J. Shelton. They brought in a number of guys who are 4-star types, but they're true freshmen this year. So is Tyler O'Connor really going to maintain that? They've had a really good run in quarterbacks here, but O'Connor, we saw him in the Ohio State game. He was something like 9 of 12 for 100-and-some yards. They won that game, but they were clearly protecting him as much as possible.
Which makes sense.
It does. And then if you look at Penn State has a new offensive coordinator, which I think will help. They have their entire offensive line back. I think losing Hackenberg.
What does that mean?
They actually should be getting okay. And then, you know, Barkley's great. They brought in Miles Sanders. You know, you've got Trace McSorley, who I think will be better than Christian Hackenberg as a college quarterback.
But they lost their defensive line.
They did. They got one guy coming back, Garrett Sickles, and the rest of those guys are out the door.
Oh, NFL guys.
But they have a good linebacker core. They have a decent secondary. Like, that could be a 9-win team. Like, I think that Penn State might surprise some people to the positive this year.
Okay, that would definitely surprise me. I'm curious. Me too. See, what do the numbers tell you, Craig, about Ohio State? Because the eyeball test you look at, I think Brian is spot on. There's no way you don't take a step back when you lose that much. I don't care how talented you are. And yet, when Michigan sees them, by the time Michigan sees them, all of those holes, all of that inexperience, assuming for the sake of argument that they don't have injuries, those questions aren't as prevalent as they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's way premature to evaluate Ohio State at this point. I mean, I think they have Oklahoma, don't they, early?
Third game of the season.
And you would think that's a game they probably would lose.
Oklahoma's getting them at the right time, I think.
And we don't see them until the 12th week of the season or the 12th game of the season. And so by then, it's hard to say, you know, what they'll do. If you believe recruiting ratings, and I think we all believe them to some degree.
I think Mike Weber is going to have an outstanding year. I know that is going to be a tough act to follow. There were some that really thought that Briante Dunn maybe Briante Dunn would have split time with him at the beginning of the season, but it was always, in my opinion, going to be Mike Weber. The kid is... I think he's really good, and I think he's a really good fit for that offense. I think he's going to have a really good season. Maybe he starts out slow, but again, by the time you get to Michigan, I think it's going to be a problem. And this is a theme with Ohio State. When they lost, who was the guy a couple of years ago that played for the 49ers now, the running back?
Carlos Hyde.
They lost Carlos Hyde. I was like, I mean, there's no way. There's no way they're going to come in and have the kind of production from a back that they had from Carlos Hyde. And then Ezekiel Elliott comes in. It's like, boom, right away. Yeah. And he might not be immediately what Ezekiel Elliott was. But, guys, I'm telling you, I don't think it's going to be that far off from Ezekiel Elliott as a freshman.
But I think a lot of it depends on what they get from their line, right? So they got 2 returning starters, 2 of their interior guys back. And then what do you get from, you know, the 4-star guys that they got looking to fill in.
Their right tackle they did not like. So that's kind of like a Joe Bolden situation where this is a veteran who was experienced, but they were like, man, this guy isn't that great. So they're not expecting a huge drop-off there. You know, left tackle, the other interior offensive lineman could be problems, but their line is probably going to be fine. And they're going to roll with Barrett this year. You know, they're not going to have that back and forth. Right. They're not going to have that nobody really knows what's going on here.
What do you think they would have been? If they go with JT Barrett all of last year, do you think it makes a difference?
No, I'm the bad person to ask about this because at the beginning of the Michigan State game, I was like, this is a game for Cardale Jones. Like, all he is really good at is throwing the ball deep, and that's the worst part of Michigan State's defense. And
true, but it was also
like four times.
That was the mistake, though. I mean, I don't think Barrett can't get that done. And if you consider the weather in Columbus that day, like, I don't think anything – I mean, I agree with you. Cardale Jones is a good thrower, but, like, the game plan was the problem with Ohio State in that game.
Yeah, right? And they made fixes after that. But, J.T. Barrett only averaged 6.3 yards an attempt last year, and that's with a very, very friendly offense that should inflate your yards per attempt.
Right. See, but I think that his numbers – I think he's a victim of circumstance. I think that you dilute it. His impact, his potential impact, even by making him split time. I think he was the best guy, and if you had gone with him to start the season, then I wonder if Ohio State isn't, if they're the team in the play. I think they are the team in the playoff. If JT Barrett was the guy, and you rolled with him from start to finish.
But I mean, that means your coaching staff doesn't have a brain fart against Michigan State in a game they clearly should have won, right?
Yeah, but
so.
They didn't look like the Ohio State that Michigan saw or that the bowl opponent. I don't remember who they played in the bowl. They saw that was a totally different team. I mean, they struggled against Northern Illinois. They struggled basically the whole year because they had a really bad offensive coordinator transition.
Right, and the disjointed way that they went about their quarterback. And we can't underscore enough the loss. Like you said, the change in offensive coordinator was huge.
Yeah.
Huge for them. So that is a big deal, but I think they exacerbated that loss with their decision at the quarterback spot.
I agree, but I also think that JT Barrett might not be the world beater that people expect.
You don't think so?
I think he's going to be good. I think he's being better than he was last year.
Man, that's tough.
But he's a guy who has distinct limitations in the passing game.
You think so?
He does.
Think back to that Michigan State game where they went up to Michigan State and housed them in their house. JT Barrett was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I'm
looking
at
9 yards an attempt in 2014.
So this is something that I've taken from Ross Fulton, who is a guy who writes for us for Hail to the Victors about the Buckeyes. So he's during last year when they were having their struggles, he would constantly point out the things that Barrett did well and the things that Barrett didn't do well, and that too many of the latter were taking place. So if they have that, like, come-to-Jesus moment that the Michigan State game should be for them and appears to be for them, and they do the things that Barrett can do, he'll look like a world beater. But if you have Michigan's defense, I think that's the kind of defense that might be able to force Barrett into doing the things that he's not good at.
So this is a great jump-off because, you know, I know you guys look at it very, very closely. I don't want to bring up any bad memories, but we have to, kind of. So Michigan's approach against Ohio State last year,
right?
And comparing it to what you think Don Brown,
right,
or how you think Don Brown will attack this year. What are the differences that you guys see?
So DJ Durkin was an extreme man-to-man guy, and he did not change that against run-first offenses and spread offenses. And Don Brown's not going to do that. Don Brown is going to use his corners as blitzers. There's a coverage they have called trap where the corner has a run responsibility first, and if he sees pass, he's in the flat. But he's a guy who they activate against the run. They send a lot of blitzers. They have a lot of zero coverage. They have a lot of diversity. And Durkin's defense was good but very simple. And that just wasn't going to fly against Ohio State.
They ran Michigan's corners out of the frame time and time again.
And then they attacked the outside.
For bringing up bad memories.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I mean, I think it's something that people need to think about is that Don Brown is not DJ Durkin. Don Brown has had a top five rush defense at Boston College and UConn the last 5 years, which is kind of boggling to think about.
That's unbelievable.
So he's a guy who, when he gave his presentation at Michigan's coaching clinic this year, it was all about stopping spread runs, all of it. all 2 hours. That's all he was talking about. And you know, he's a college guy. He's played Clemson. He shut down their run game, although Deshaun Watson went for like 400 passing yards.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's going to happen, right? Deshaun Watson's pretty good. They shut down Dalvin Cook a year ago, which is really, really impressive. And they're a lot more diverse. So Michigan was a one high where they put Jared Wilson 15 yards deep every play. And there's some of that in Don Brown's defense, but he'll play two high. And he'll alternate between the two. He'll disguise coverages. It's a much more confusing defense to go up against. Whereas Durkins was just kind of like, we've got these guys, try to beat them. Mm-hmm. And nobody could until Ohio State.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about, you know, his emphasis on stopping spread to run. Because, I mean, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're looking at a defensive coordinator, and he obviously got one with credentials beyond just stopping the spread run. But, you know, how much do you base that decision on, like, well, this guy is thinking about how to stop what our biggest rival does?
That's why I was in a panic when a lot of NFL names were coming up when Michigan was doing their defensive coordinator search. That was did not want an NFL guy.
The name I liked, and you know, I can talk about it in retrospect because, you know, the word I got was that his wife was actually checking out. We didn't even get into all that. You know, the name that I really liked until I heard about Don Brown was Dave Aranda. I think Aranda is outstanding, and we can talk about Wisconsin here. Coming up, that was the team that we previewed yesterday. It's a team that you look at their schedule, and I don't think there's any way in the world they can be a 10-win team.
Man, that's payback for the last 2 years.
It's
been coming for a decade.
It's a murderer's row, and then you compound their issues with losing their best coach, who's now the defensive coordinator for
Paul Chryst whatsoever, man.
Dave Aranda is outstanding.
when I heard
that name come up with Michigan, I was like, wow, this would be great. And then you get Don Brown, and immediately began hearing from family members of players that played for his team. That was actually how I found out about it. Was a family member of one of the players said, "Oh, Michigan's getting Don Brown. This is an outstanding pickup. He is an outstanding coach, not just schematically, but also with connecting with his players." And we're hearing that from the guys. Very, very quick buy-in from the squad. I just really think that they hit it out of the park with this one, and they're going to be prepared. They have the personnel as well. We'll talk about over versus under kind of a piece of, ease some of the concerns about Jabril Peppers once again.
Sure.
Because we got to, you know, beat these points over and over, as you know, with Ryan Glasgow. But we'll talk about some of the other teams, some of the other guys coming up on the other side. You have any questions for the crew? 734-998-1050. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. One after the other.
And they have LSU.
And they have LSU at the beginning of the year. In Green Bay, but at the beginning of the year.
Home game.
By the way, that is the dumbest neutral site I've ever heard of. Like, let's move this 90 miles away from Madison.
I think you're missing something, Brian. It's Lambeau Field.
Don't give me that.
And those, it's not like it's...
I think you got to be a pro guy, maybe, to appreciate it.
I don't know, it's Lambeau Field.
Well, it's Lambeau. I mean, I get what I are saying. It's Lambeau.
It's Lambeau Field. It's those kids...
It's a religion for people in Wisconsin.
They're going to have a chance to go play at Lambeau Field. Those kids are going to go crazy over it. It's not like you're going to some random dome or whatever. It's Lambeau Field.
All right, fine. It's not Ford Field, is what I was saying.
I was trying to be nice.
Are you an NFL guy? Are you an NFL guy?
No, all right. I was right. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
All he had to do is keep reporting.
Wait, is that a first for the round table?
I was about to say, man, I feel like I just won an argument with my wife. I mean, it's like she didn't do anything. She's never wrong. I know.
It was all Ira.
But you said you said someone else was right. I don't think I've ever heard that.
I've said
ever before.
I've said you are correct.
Brian, trust me. If they were playing, now I get it, the size of the stadium thing, but Houston is hosting Oklahoma at the home of the Texans. That's just to get more people in the stands. I get that. But if you're moving a game to Ford Field or to the Dome in Indianapolis or something, that doesn't do it. There's very few places.
LSU's return is like at the Superdome. It's not at their home stadium. If I was a Wisconsin fan, I'd be disappointed with that because I would love
to go to LSU.
To go to Death Valley. I got you. I thought you meant if you were a Wisconsin fan, you'd be disappointed.
Like, you know, I was looking forward to, like, when they go play Texas, I'm going to go to Texas. But if that was at, like, Jerry World or whatever, I'm not going to that. Like,
you wouldn't? Yes, you would.
No, and I'm not going to the Florida game at Jerry World.
You're not?
Neutral site college football is evil in general.
It was only bad because they got trounced. Oh, dude, I thought that was...
But compared to, like, actually playing Alabama in Tuscaloosa, like, come on. That would have been awesome.
I agree with Brian on this, and I'm only going to the game in Dallas because we had a great time because we have friends there that it's the whole experience that it's visiting people and the Jerry World part of it was a mess.
You thought
Getting in to the stands, because you went to the press, getting in to the stands was awful.
Okay.
Absolutely awful. The actual experience of being in the stands is okay. It doesn't really do it for me. For me, the trip to Dallas is all about hanging out with Steve in Dallas and our friends down in Dallas. It's not about... Yeah. The venue.
I guess.
Where do you want to play Florida? At the Swamp or in Dallas?
Dude, Michigan at the Swamp? Seriously.
It would be awesome. Right.
Put it this way. Would I rather play in Between the Hedges or in Tuscaloosa or at the Swamp? Sure. But would it make me not go if they were playing in Jerry World? Well, I mean, you're that's an extreme.
You're not
even going to go.
I'm a principled man. I don't know why you are, Sam.
Good. I see we're all in favor of Michigan State permanently at Ford Field.
Yeah, we went on a huge tangent there.
Wisconsin.
Craig, bring us back home. Us back home with Wisconsin. What do you see from this team this year?
Well, you know, they couldn't run the ball last year, which is very unusual for Wisconsin. I think they averaged about 3.8 per carry, and their offensive line was a rotating mess. I mean, they were carried a lot by Stave last year. He's gone. The guy coming in, Houston, who's been around in that program, has never really seemed to break through. I think they were 95 in rushing. They lose both offensive tackles. They've only got about their interior line is okay on both offense and defense, I think. But, you know, they lose a lot on that team, and they really didn't have a typical kind of Wisconsin team last year. So I'm not...
They had a ton of injuries.
Yeah, they had a ton of injuries, but I think Clement, their running back, is probably pretty good, who's coming back. But I still don't see that team as being as good as Wisconsin has been in a while. I mean, I think they're going to have a hard time this year.
Right, and
go ahead.
Oh, sorry to cut you off. I mean, I just kind of wonder about the coaching change and whether Paul Chryst can keep this program. You know, I mean, I really like Gary Anderson as a coach.
I don't know
got a steal.
If it's so much that Paul Chryst is a bad coach, but losing Gary Anderson in the way you did kind of speaks to an athletic department that might not be firing in all cylinders.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, they refused to hire Greg Gard until... Bo Ryan made them do it in the most Bo Ryan way they possibly could.
Wait, what do you do?
So he retired mid-season.
Right, yeah, and he was the interim.
I think he threw, like, the first half of the season because they were terrible, and as soon as Bo Ryan goes away...
You don't buy the whole affair thing, not wanting that to come out?
No, I don't buy that. Because he wanted to retire in the offseason, but he would only do it if they hired Gard, and then they wouldn't do it, so he's like, all right, I'm going to make this happen anyway. And, like... Bo Ryan should be the kind of legend that allows you to pull the trigger on maintaining that. Maybe Greg Gard isn't going to be the best guy.
Well, you know, Steve, we had Steve Clark on yesterday to speak to your point. He said, you know, Jim Leonard coming on to coach Steve, no experience whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then he said that doesn't sound like a decision that was made by the new DC.
Right, so this is what I'm saying, is that maybe it's not Paul Chryst. Maybe it goes all the way to Barry Alvarez.
Yeah, sure.
We at Michigan have seen what a terrible AD can do to your program.
Yeah.
And that might be the problem.
But, I mean, Alvarez has been there for a while, right?
He has, but, like, he and But the, losing Gary Anderson was kind of like a really bad sign.
The word was, and I'm putting this out there as rumor. I have not confirmed it. But the word when Gary Anderson was there was that Barry Alvarez was trying to get in the kitchen as far as the staff decisions were concerned. And he wanted this guy removed and this guy added. He was trying to flex the muscle with Gary Anderson, and Gary Anderson was like, go to hell.
So you think all that stuff about academic standards that Anderson said when he left was garbage?
That's legit, because Craig Evans was a Wisconsin commit, ends up at Michigan State, gets booted from Michigan State after a year. But he would have gone to Wisconsin, and Gary Anderson was willing to take him, but the university would not do that. Mm-hmm. Possibly wisely in that case, but you know, I think there were other players that he thought he could get in and he couldn't get in.
And so what about another team? And we have the MGO Blog Roundtable here, folks. Brian Cook, Ed Fang, Craig Ross on the phone from lovely Hawaii. Another team, Iowa. So Iowa exceeded expectations. These two teams had a dogfight last year, Iowa and Wisconsin did. But Iowa goes on to have success that I think most didn't predict.
Yeah.
And they obviously went to you know, the Rose Bowl and got owned. But
Stanford. Did they go? I don't know.
They showed up. There were guys in black jerseys there.
I think that fans
whiffed at Christian McCaffrey many times.
What do you think of Iowa this year?
This should be an Ed topic, because Iowa's the kind of team where the numbers are like, this team sucks. And that makes all of the Iowa fans just livid.
Oh, my God, that's exactly it. They're so mad at me. They're like, what, 36 in your preseason rankings? And I know Mark Morehouse. He's one of the Gazette writers for Iowa football, and he emailed me yesterday. He's like, yeah, Iowa fans just don't know how to be the favorite. They're a sensitive bunch.
Well, they're not the favorite. People are like, these guys suck, and they're going to go 6-7.
They think they're the favorite.
They do.
After last season.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
They have some assets. They've got the C.J. Beathard, who Pro Football Focus rated as the only positive passer in the Big Ten last year, the only one who's coming back. And they've got, that defense where they've got a couple of good linebackers. They have Desmond King. Their other cornerback is very good as well, Greg Maben. And they've got a safety coming back who's good.
What about their passing game?
Their passing game is fine.
It's fine.
Like, their running game is fine. They don't really have an NFL talent in the skill positions. I don't think even close to one. Matt Vandenberg is a very sure-handed guy who would be a great number two receiver on any Big Ten team. He's their number one. Their running backs are okay. Their line is okay. You know, they should be a team that wins 8 games. And
yeah, I mean, the schedule is in their favor. Miami of Ohio, North Dakota State without Carson Wentz.
I mean, Miami of Ohio has been pretty bad, but they'll be in a game with NDSU. And they'll be in a game with Northwestern, and they're not overwhelming. They benefited a lot from winning some close games last year.
True,
and you know they don't have the talent level to maintain. We're 12-0. We're 11-1.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones real quick. 734-998-1050. Talk to Mark in Lansing. Mark, what's up?
I got a series of questions for you guys. The first one is, did you hear about the D'Antonio hang up yesterday? I'm curious
what
your thoughts are. I'm surprised they don't happen on a more frequent occasion. I can't tell you how disappointed I am with some of these questions that are being asked by some of these people on the radio and at press conferences, and I just don't know what the standards are when it comes to hiring people to do that kind of stuff. What team in the conference, other than Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State, do you see emerging next? I'm kind of wondering, and that can go over to the West too. Whether you think it's Nebraska, whether you think it's Maryland, which team do you like the look of the team as it ascends, and then. Third, when it comes to this Michigan team, where do you see the immediate upgrade in play over last year? I thought Rudock came out of nowhere. He improved greatly. I don't know how we can expect much better quarterback play out of the guys we got this year, but I'm curious as to what position group or player do you think will immediately show that he's that we got an improvement over last year, and I'll hang up for this tonight.
I think Mark D'Antonio, this is rare for me.
I think he made the right call.
He
was just being trolled. I mean,
he was. It was like two Michigan fans got together and said, "Hey, let's get Mark D'Antonio." That's what it seemed like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either hang up or stay on the phone and get an FCC violation because you said something you shouldn't have said.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowherd interview was kind of like that as well. Like, but. It's just one of those things where it's like, I can't blame the guy. Honestly, like, he's got more important things to do than deal with two yahoos on the radio.
And Michigan fans were just piling on. Michigan State fans. I'm like, man, this is one of those times where you cut them some slack because their coach, they really were trying to make an ass of him is what they were doing.
Well, I mean, Michigan State fans always jump on Harbaugh's erratic behavior, and it's good to have this to be like, you know, D'Antonio is not the most stable gentleman in the shed. I'm like, that's a good thing. Anyway, second question was,
I think, what team other than Michigan
is going to beat
Ohio State and Michigan State to rise up? You seem to think Penn State?
I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they could take a game from one of the three big teams in the division. I think, you know, they could be 8-4, they could be 9-3. You know, I don't think that Franklin's job is going to be under threat after what looks like a clear improvement this year.
I was surprised to hear that from the Penn State people down in Chicago. I thought this is a year where James Franklin is on a hot seat, and they said not even close. Next year will be the year that, you know.
Well, this is really the first year that they're back to full strength.
That's what he's saying too.
Like, their offensive line has not been James Franklin's fault, and it just hasn't been. So,
right. But they lost the defensive coordinator too, right?
They did. They lost. They changed both coordinators, and on offense, that's a good thing, and on defense, that's a bad thing. So, but they've got a good talent in their back seven. I think they'll scrape it. They've got their defensive line coach has done great work with some guys over the last 3 years, and they've got a 5-star in this class. So, I think they'll be fine. You know, they're not going to be a 6-16.
Yeah, I watched I just got done watching on the Big Ten Network. They were showing the Michigan State Nebraska game. And, I pulled out my Phil Steele's book, my Phil Steele college football preview to see what they lost from last season. Because that's a team that had some close games.
They did.
Last year that they couldn't pull out. That was one of the true exceptions. And it was a game where Tommy Armstrong really stepped up and made some plays. Now, there should have been a pick. There should have been a pick in the end zone. But he stepped up and made some plays late. And I wonder if this is the year where you finally see some consistency from Tommy Armstrong.
Sure, and I was actually just going to say, like, I mean, I think the top three are the top three in the Big Ten. But if Nebraska wins some close games and goes +6 in turnovers in the Big Ten championship game, they could look like a contender.
I think Nebraska is good. They've got a couple of really good receivers. Westerkamp can play. Like, Westerkamp is really just the absolute maximum you can get from his body size and speed. Like, he's the best receiver that guy can be. The problem is that Mike Riley wants to run a pro-style system. And they, like, halved his Tommy Armstrong's real carries last year, which is ridiculous. And it reminds me of Al Borges with Denard Robinson. I mean, this is a quarterback who is very much for one kind of system, and he's taking snaps from under center, and I'm just like, dude, like, I know you want to run this, and I know that you're recruiting to that, but you could win the division this year if you have Tommy Armstrong run 10 times a game, like, and make that part of your offense. But I just don't see it happening. Otherwise, it would.
I think they do win the division.
Craig,
No, I don't see Nebraska. I mean, their defensive line has no depth and no starters back. They're complete. Completely to me in disarray on the defensive line. Offensive line loses some guys. They have some skill guys, that's true. I just don't see. I see Iowa as a better team than Nebraska. And Iowa, you know, they're not flashy, but they do have almost everybody back. They've got a good quarterback. They're, I think, better coached. Many may disagree with me, but I think they're better coached than Nebraska. I just I think Iowa's the team to beat in the West, and I think they'll win that division.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about coaching, because you got to think about how Mike Riley left the Oregon State program. Like, he had a bunch of good seasons there, but
yeah, I mean, obviously,
the shed's kind of empty there.
He's obviously
right now
a good coach. I mean, they're recruiting well, but that's not going to take effect for 3-4 years now. But
yeah, I said they had close games last year. I mean, think about it. They lose a game by 5 to BYU. They lose
on a Hail Mary.
Yeah, on a Hail Mary. They lose at Miami by 3 in overtime. They lose at Illinois by 1. They lose to Wisconsin by two. They lose to Northwestern by two. I mean, this team, they lost by lost to Iowa by eight. I mean, this was a team that, man.
They threw, like, a bunch of picks in the Iowa game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Armstrong does. Like, he had 16 picks on not that many attempts last year. It's just they need to have a great ground game. And Armstrong can be that functional dual-threat quarterback, but they made him a single-threat quarterback too often last year.
Yeah, we'll see. Their schedule, you got to like their schedule, I think, if you are a Nebraska fan. You get, I mean, Oregon is going to be tough, but you get them at home. So you have a bit of an advantage there. I mean, your toughest road games are back-to-back at Wisconsin, at Ohio State. They have Iowa at the end of the year. At Iowa a Friday, but the back-to-back nature of at Wisconsin and Ohio State makes those two more difficult to me. But, man, I mean, I think you got to love the schedule. I mean, you got a crossover game with Maryland. Ohio State is a you hate that as a crossover. Who's their other one in the mix? But, you know, those two for sure, they got a much better flip of the coin than, say,
Wisconsin. Yeah, that's true. You know, although you do point out they lost a lot of close games last year, losing by one to Illinois doesn't really, like, sing.
Fire confidence, yeah.
You know, it's not, oh, well, that they're going to be good.
Right. I hear you. Touche.
His last question was about...
What's
going to be better this year than it was last year? I mean, if you look at the end of the season, this isn't going to be the case, but if you look at the season in total... J.U. Chesson, because at the beginning of the season, J.U. Chesson was erratic. Mm-hmm. He didn't catch more than a couple balls until the Maryland game.
Had some key drops at times, like Michigan State.
Yeah, and then the second half of the season, he absolutely took off. You know, a full season of that J.U. Chesson is going to be a wonderful safety blanket.
Did he ask just about offense?
No, he asked both.
Oh, dude, you don't think the defensive line is going to be better, Mark?
The defensive line was awesome last year,
that's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. You don't look at that. And even how they were at the beginning of the year, now you throw Rashawn Gary.
Brian Monet.
Brian Monet in that mix. I think they're going to be better this year.
I mean, I think they will, especially if they stay healthy. Like, you know, the drop-off between Glasgow and then to Hurst, and then especially once you get to, like, the second guy at nose tackle, and I always say that you have two starters at defensive tackle at both spots.
Right.
You need to rotate those guys. There's no such thing as a starter who doesn't get platooned. Even Ryan Glasgow, who's had great endurance, he needed a backup. So this year you're looking at, you know, I think Michigan's second defensive line is a top three Big Ten unit. I mean,
sure.
Like, if Michigan's first defensive line didn't exist, they would still have a good defensive line. And I've never said that about a Michigan team before.
Right, and you know, the thing is, when you look at the linebacker spot, sure, they lose their guys. I think they'll be better there too.
They will, yeah.
Because you certainly had experience at the position, but you improve in size and athleticism. They're bigger, stronger, faster guys at those positions.
Yeah. Well, who do you guys see starting there? I mean, Jabril's going to kind of take one spot in Jabril, 4-2-5.
I don't even count Jabril as a linebacker because he's still playing this. He'll still play the exact same spot, except he'll be blitzing more.
All right. So right now, Gedeon and McCray and Devin Bush are like 1A and 1B.
Okay. I think
heading into fall camp,
it really looked like McCray was going to be that guy because he can take on a lead block. Like, I think that he's going to be the kind of guy who can go blow up a fullback or even an offensive guard. He delivers
and
a
Don
blow.
Brown loves him. I mean, you talk about a guy he really loves. He loves Mike McCray.
Yeah, I mean, he looked fantastic in the spring game. It looked like a guy that could get
He made it through the spring and didn't miss time. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment for a guy whose shoulder has been a chronic thing for him since he's been here. So, big time. We got to get to a break. We'll pick this up on the other side here. Still time, if you have any questions, it's 734-998-1050 to get in with them. Back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, the ticket. Inside the Emden Studios, you know, we talked about, Ohio State. We talked about Wisconsin, Iowa. We mentioned in passing Michigan State.
We talk more about Mark D'Antonio hanging up on those hosts. But what about the Spartans? Starting with you, Craig. I've told people, they've asked me for my forecast for the season, and you know I'm one that plays it a little closer to the vest typically before fall camp. But this year is different. I think Michigan goes undefeated heading into that Ohio State game.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not ready to make that call yet. But now I'm hearing from some Michigan fans that are like, you know, going on the road to Michigan State, I don't care what they lost. I don't know if you can call that game yet. Well, I think we can, or at least I am. I don't think they go in and roll Michigan State, but with their losses at quarterback, you lose Burbridge. Obviously, you lose. You have key losses on the offensive line. You lose Shalique Calhoun. I just feel like as far as, a vulnerable Michigan State team colliding with a Michigan team that has talented and veteran, obviously they're at home, but I just think that Michigan will be favored in that game.
Greg?
Game, I think, at least looking at it right now. I mean, partly because I just don't see the Michigan State offense being able to do very much with the Michigan defense. I mean, really pretty much breaking in a whole new offense. They got a couple of offensive linemen back, but beyond that, and they have a nice tight end in Price, but, you know, beyond that, there's not, and a good running back in Scott, but I just don't see that offense being able to do much with the Michigan defense. Now, I think the Michigan State defense, is Ed Davis, did he somehow get a sixth year?
They don't know yet.
They don't know yet.
He doesn't
that
have
would
his
be
degree
ridiculous.
Yet? He's getting his degree in like late August, and then they can apply to the NCAA, which is kind of crazy. Because he's already had 5 years.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like he should. But, I mean, I think they'll have good linebackers. I think their defensive line will be competent. I think they got some problems maybe in the secondary, but they'll be okay there too. I mean, I think they'll be a good defense, and it's a mistake to underrate what Michigan State can do on defense since they've been pretty damn good for a while there. But I just don't see that offense as being particularly dynamic, particularly against Michigan's defense. So I lean to us. I think Iowa's a scarier game for Michigan on the road than Michigan State.
One of the weird things that has happened is they're moving Cody Keeler to center, which is a big surprise to me because they don't seem to have very much tackle depth. Like, one of their tackles is either going to be Machado or Dennis Finley. Finley lost all of last year to an injury, and Machado looked pretty bad. So, I don't know.
I thought Brian Allen was their center.
Apparently, he's going to play guard. They released a depth chart at in Chicago that had Keeler as their center, and I was like, wow, that I don't know what that means.
So who do they have a right tackle?
I think it's going to be Machado or Finley, which is just kind of like.
So who's left tackle?
Some other guy. I forget.
Some dude.
Like, they seem to have one guy who they were pretty confident in at tackle, and then the other spot without Keeler is kind of like, well, what are we going to do here? So that was odd to me. And then, you know, you're really relying on those freshman receivers. I don't think R.J. Shelton's going to be that great. Like, I've seen him for 4 years, and he's just.
They've
just
been raving about Donnie Corley.
But they've been playing him as a cornerback,
makes sense because I wanted to actually talk about the secondary. They were bad last year.
They get Copeland
a lot
back.
Of guys coming back.
Yeah, well, he had the vertebrae injury, didn't he?
He did, and like they're.
He was a freshman, so I mean, we don't really know.
We have no idea how good he is. And their secondary was their safeties were just kind of a mess the whole year. Like, you know, Nicholson got benched a couple times. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of freshmen who weren't playing, and those guys will get better, but. You know, they were pretty bad last year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and the other corner, Hicks, he got cooked. He got toasted on a regular basis.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like, you know, 3-4 years ago they had two Pro Bowl cornerbacks that made that defense amazing, and that really put them through those years. And then the defense kind of fell off, but Connor Cook came along. It's like, all right, this is my team.
Well,
and then who's going to step
in that safety? You had a couple of guys who were really, really good at that incredibly critical spot they had.
Right. They had amazing defense, no doubt. But, I mean, who's going to take over? I mean, it's the Malik McDowell show now.
Is he going to win? He can fix a lot of problems.
Is he going to win 8 games for him? Maybe.
I mean, also we should say, I think LJ Scott is the truth. Like,
I do, too.
Like, that guy, he's a beast, and he's got quick feet, too. Like, he had a spin move against Purdue that, like, blew my mind. And I think that once these guys, they've got a crew of guys who are pretty good running backs. Once, you know, he kind of establishes himself as the guy, that's going to really help them because he's a guy who can make yards on his own.
Yeah, they need their freshman to step up huge at the receiver position.
They do. But they got some options there.
Yeah, I didn't.
Chambers kid from New Jersey.
Yeah, and I think the most talented physically of the bunch is the kid from Ohio. The basketball. He played basketball as well. His name is escaping me at the moment. I'm looking, trying to look him up in the.
Yeah, I'm not sure who you're talking about, but they have.
He's a 4-star guy.
Him and Corley and Chambers, and that's probably the best wide receiver recruiting they've managed since, I don't know, Charles Rogers. So they have some guys coming in, but freshman wide receivers suck. They always suck. Like, you know, Mario Manningham came in and had, like, what, 28 catches as a freshman? Like, if you're relying on freshman receivers, it's going to be a tough, bumpy road.
And they're relying on more than one. I mean, you don't need just one of them to step up. You need multiple guys to step up. And you don't have an established guy at the quarterback position either to
take the load off.
Right.
I think they're going to take a step back. I think that D'Antonio's established himself enough that we can say that they're not going to be a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't expect them to win double-digit games.
Right. Do you agree that Michigan will be favored in that game?
Yes. I mean, they're already favored by like 4 in Vegas. I think it'll be a touchdown by the time that game rolls around.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I think that's true.
Well, guys, it's great to get the ball rolling once again. I'm curious how we have Media Day coming up. Any particular storylines you're most anticipating, most excited to hear about?
I want to know what Harbaugh's favorite book is.
It used to be that. I want you to ask Ryan Glasgow why his older brother is calling him Young Toothless.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So, yeah, we'll throw it out there. I want to ask him, does he hear the people that just can't believe that he's a ball player? I mean, does he run into that? Like, hey, this guy can't be a starter? His brother just got drafted in the third round of the NFL draft.
People are saying that about Ryan Glasgow?
Yes.
Yes.
Who?
People who really want to see Brian Monet play, which he's going to. But
I have the same reaction.
Are these Michigan fans?
Michigan fans.
Yeah. They don't read MGO blog. I can tell you that much.
They don't listen to Sam.
Hey. Anyway.
Wow.
Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Craig, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
Ed, we'll see you next week. Coming up next, we have the Tiki and Tierney Show, followed by the Jim Rome Show at noon. Then we pick up our coverage of the Tigers, trying to extend that win streak to 9 games now. Coverage picks up at 12:45, taking on the White Sox, followed by the Huge Show. Tomorrow, John U. Bacon and much more here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.